Psalm 93, a hymn to Yahweh, reigning supreme over the powers of chaos. It may be from the time of the end of the Babylonian exile, it's only a guess, of course, celebrating God's victorious reign over the gods and political powers of Babylon. It may have been composed to be sung on the occasion of a new year reenactment of God's act of creation. There's some of the suggestions that scholars come up with from the actual content of the psalm. So it begins, verse 1, Yahweh reigns as king, he is robed in majesty, Yahweh is robed and girded with power. On the reign of God, well, that's a very central theme of the New Testament, isn't it? The kingdom of God, but not kingdom in a static sense. Reign of God is probably a better translation. In any case, it's what happens when God's will is done on the earth. That's what you mean by the reign of God. What happens when what God wants is what happens. And that's the kingdom of God, the reign of God, which is, of course, in Jesus' understanding, a reign of love, a reign of welcoming, a reign of peace, all of that. Well, here's some other texts in the Old Testament talk about the reign of God. Then the moon will be abashed and the sun ashamed, for Yahweh of hosts will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and before his elders he will manifest his glory. Isaiah 52, a text that I'm sure you know. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news. That's the origin of the word in the New Testament of the gospel, euangelion, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Psalm 47, the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. Psalm 97, Yahweh is king. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad. Then Psalm 99, the opening verse, Yahweh is king. Let all the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake. So, our psalm is about the reign of God. Verse 1, second part. He has established the world, it shall never be moved. By your strength, this is psalm, similarly, Psalm 96, say among the nations, Yahweh is king, the world is firmly established, it shall never be moved. And Psalm 65, by your strength you establish the mountains. You are girded with might. You silence the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the tumult of the peoples. Chaos everywhere, but God is reigning, so it's okay. The world is established peacefully. Our psalm, Psalm 93, verse 2, your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. The torrents swell, Yahweh. The torrents roar. The torrents thunder. More majestic than the crashing of the mighty waters, more majestic than the waves of the sea is Yahweh on high. Your decrees are most sure. Holiness befits your house, Yahweh, forevermore. The prophet Habakkuk, chapter 3, writes, was your wrath against the rivers, Yahweh, or your anger against the rivers, or your rage against the sea? When you drove your horses, your chariots to victory, you came forth to save your people, to save your anointed, that's the king. You crushed the head of the wicked house, laying it bare from foundation to roof. using again the sea and the waters, chaotic waters, as an image of chaos. But they're representing the foreign nations that God has conquered. Now, as Christians, we reflect on the reign of God through the power and glory of the risen Christ. So just a reflection now, because that's the end of the psalm. It's quite a brief one. So let's spend a few minutes looking at some New Testament texts talking about the reign of God. Ephesians, firstly, chapter 1, verse 19. What is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power? God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. So whatever powerful creatures you may imagine in the heavens, Christ is above them all now, taken to the right hand of God. I don't need to stress for you, do I? But if you read that very carefully, it's very obvious Paul is talking about Jesus Christ, the man, isn't he? The right hand of God. Don't bring Trinitarian thinking into that too quickly. The Trinity has to go, you have to come from another angle and see who is Jesus. Well, Jesus is the incarnation, the human expression of the Word of God. Then you go back into the mystery of the Trinity. It's complex, but it's quite simple, and you mustn't lose the humanity of Jesus when you do it, which is a danger. So God put this power to work. God, the triune God, put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of God in the heavenly places, etc. So we're talking about Jesus here, the Messiah. Revelations 11:17. We give you thanks, Lord God Almighty. You are and you were. For you have taken your great power, you have begun to reign. And the reign of God is the exaltation of Jesus, and it's now his will that's being done in the world, if we're open to it. And also in the book of Revelations, a dramatic way of chapter 21, the very conclusion of that beautiful book, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. There's no more sea. Meaning, chaos. No more chaos. In heaven, the sea is described. It's no longer sea. It's a crystal glass reflecting light of all the emeralds. And it's chaotic sea. And does this remind you of this scene in Matthew chapter 8? This whole imagery, a wind, the power of God over chaos, now expressed in Jesus. A wind storm arose on the sea, so great that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he, Jesus, was asleep. And they went and they woke him up, saying, Lord, Adonai, if you like, it's written in Greek, but Kurios, save us, we're perishing. And he said to them, why are you afraid, you of little faith? You can't perish if you're with God. And Jesus is present in the boat of Peter, the church, the community in Antioch, or in Mark, the community in Rome, wherever the gospel's written. He is with you. He seems to be asleep. He doesn't seem to be answering your prayer, but he is present with you. I am with you all days to the end of time. So whatever chaos is happening in your life or in my life, in the church at the moment, we're taken back to this. Why are you afraid, you of little faith? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea. He is the risen Christ, really. And the Lord. and there was a great calm. They were amazed and said, what sort of man is this? Even the winds and the sea obey him. God's will, God's reign of love, conquering chaos, is exercised through the man Jesus, now raised to the Father, and his Spirit is the key to our world through the church, which is his body. Let's